The following programming is sponsored by Factorum Business Solutions. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
I know you're waiting for this one.
Yellow!
I know the world won't give me nothing, so I gotta take it. And I know it's a way we can win. Why won't nobody say it? It don't matter where we're from, suburbs or the slums. They don't wanna see us winning, they'd rather keep us down. Could have a war, but we don't know how.
Coming in hot.
First, you know, back in middle school when they taught us it was three branches of the government, we forgot it when we got older. It's the judicial, the legislative, and executive. But all we know is the executive. That's the mayor or the governor and the president. Now, none of them three people make no laws. They just be checking them. The laws come to their desk and all they do is say no or yes to it. So when the news station tried to tell us that Barack Obama couldn't put us on, we was all salty at Obama when it was the Congress members all along. We gotta focus on the legislative branch. Yeah, they the ones that make the laws. Yeah, they the ones write how much food stamp money you get on the car. But when people that wanted to help us wanted the job, I know they probably lost. Cause we ain't even know their name, we ain't know their face, we ain't know it all. So the Congress or the State House, that's legislative, they make laws. So what we want from the president is what they do, okay y'all? See, they election every 2 years, but we don't never even go to those. The Congress, they can raise minimum wage, but we ain't even really know it though. So you know how back in 08, when we all voted for Obama, we was all supposed to go back in 2010 and vote for the Congress. Cause they the ones make child support laws. They the ones choose if your kids at school get to eat steak or corn dogs. The State House make the court calls. So if the country failed, then you can't say it's them, it's your fault. Cause y'all ain't know to vote for Congress members that was for y'all. And they don't gotta leave after 4 years. We just let
welcome to the Tone and Tenor Show, Bipartisan Voices of the People. I'm Randall Jefferson.
I'm Pat Edward.
Our show looks at major issues impacting the nation and the city from a bipartisan perspective. We want to hear from you, our listeners. Call, join the conversation. Our call-in number is 1-888-329-3306. That's 1-888-329-3306. Our phone lines are now open. You can also like us on our Facebook page. Just type in the words Tone and Tenor in the Facebook search engine to find us. Okay. Today, our topic today is this is the final of the elections
series.
Series, this third part.
May 17th, primary election candidates, redistricting, voting matters, the people's business, part three.
Our guests, confirmed guests today are U.S. Congress candidate for the third district, Ms. Alexandria Hunt. We have also with us PA State Representative candidate for the 188th District, Mr. Rick Krajewski. He is the incumbent. We are expecting to hear from PA State Representative candidate for the 184th, Mike Giordano, and hopefully PA State Representative candidate for the 200th District, Kiana West, the Republican. Also with us is Mr. Youssef Jackson, who we're going to add, and he's on the line. And we want to welcome everybody here to Tone and Tenor here on WWDB Talk 860 AM out of beautiful Ballykinwood, Pennsylvania.
That's a little gloomy today, but, you know, it's all good. I'm going to get through the opening statement real quick, and we'll get rolling. So today's opening statement, people pay for what they want. Beg for what they need and ignore priorities that don't suit them. Wise people learn from things around them. Average people learn from stepping into the fire. Ignorant people make decisions based off nothing, emotions, and polarized notions, which in turn causes people to make permanent decisions based off of temporary feelings. Fame, fool's gold, and fashion are prominent in lieu of excellence, and activity is confused with accomplishment. Avoiding issues or kicking the can down the road don't make them go away. It just leaves immovable piles of crap and dynamite.
Well, our topic today is May 17th, 2022, primary election candidates, redistricting, and voting matters, the people's business, part three. Welcome everyone that's here with us right now on the line, on Zoom, and hopefully the others will join us later in the program. How's everyone? We're going to give you 30 seconds to introduce yourselves. Youssef, we will get you up on the social media as soon as possible. Well, let's start with Mr. Youssef Jackson.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon, Tony Tenner. Thanks for inviting me on the show. Thanks for your time. I'm running for the open seat. It's actually state rep district. It's the 203, 23rd Legislative District, which actually covers Oxford Circle, Lawndale, Longcrest, Crescentville, and West Oak Lane. I'm a retired police officer, retired detective. I'm a father. I'm a husband. I'm a protector. I'm an investigator. And I've done a lot of community service, and also I'm also a minister as well. So I just want to continue to serve my communities. I just retired about 10 months ago from the police department. And hey, that's what I say in the fight.
Thank you very much. Let's continue with our candidates. Mr. Rick Krajewski from the 188th. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Good afternoon. How about yourself?
We're doing wonderful here, Tony Tenner.
Good.
30 seconds.
Yeah, well, I can go into the intro. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Rick Krajewski. I am the current state representative for the 188th District in West and Southwest Philadelphia. It includes the neighborhoods of Cobbs Creek, Kinsessing, Cedar Park, Clark Park, Spruce Hill, Walnut Hill, everything from the Schuylkill River at 30th Street all the way down to 52nd Corridor, the Baltimore Avenue Corridor. It is a very diverse district. It is the heart and soul of a lot of communities that I care about. And I feel very grateful to have the opportunity to represent it and to hopefully represent it for another term. Thank you for having me on the show.
Thank you. And now we'll go to Ms. Alexandria Hunt, U.S. Congressional candidate for the PA 3rd District.
Hi, good to see you again. My name's Alexandra Hunt, and I am running for Congress in PA 3, which includes Northwest, West, cuts right through Center City on Broad, and has now expanded into most of South Philly. My background is in public health, and I specialize in prevention in a lot of different areas. That's really the lens that I look at things through, and that's what led me to run for office to be a legislator, because I think a lot of our issues come from the root, which is legislation that doesn't favor putting people first. And I am running a fully grassroots campaign that isn't taking any corporate money, and have been fighting hard for the seat.
Thank you very much, Pat. It's on you now.
Oh, yeah. So by the numbers, folks. I guess we'll go backwards this time. The United States House of Representatives. I can't hear myself. Turn me up a little bit. Okay, here we go. U.S. House of Representatives, 117th Congress, which we're in right now. So here are the numbers. 435 members. 225 of them are Democrats. As of this week, 209 of them are Republicans. There's one empty seat. And that was updated by Randall, because Randall's always on it. 75% of the House is white, 13% is black, 9% is Hispanic, 3.2% is Asian, and less than 1% is Native. And women only make up 27% of the U.S. House. The average age of the members is 59 years old. The average term is 8 years. Thus far with this Congress, 6 members have been registered lobbyists prior to this term. 31 of them have family members or connections formerly from, previous whatever political stuff. I didn't go into the details. That's where we're at on the U.S. House. But for the Pennsylvania House, the split, and these are numbers as of 2020. Female is 27%, male is 73%, white or Caucasian is 90%, black or African American is 9%, Hispanic or Latino is 1%, and a bunch of goose eggs for every other section, so there's no point in talking about it. Democratic Party has 45% minority, and the Republicans have a 55% majority, and independents are only 1%. And we have had 57 members, over 57 members elected prior to 2010 in the state house. So, without further ado, we're going to ask you guys a series of questions, and please take a minute to answer each question. We'll go ladies first, and we'll start with Ms. Hunt, or Candidate Hunt. Why are you running, and what separates you from other candidates that are running for the same seat, based off of what I just spoke about prior to us beginning?
Well, I'm not someone who ever really considered running for office or getting involved in this manner with politics. I think it's not really a system that caters towards someone like me. I didn't hear the average level of income or economic status of the representatives that you've mentioned, but we do live in an oligarchy. I decided to run for office because of the pandemic and the lack of resources that we had on the ground. As I said, my background's in public health, and that's working pretty closely alongside communities and community members. And when we had an unprecedented crisis, we saw a lack of response from our government, and that's completely unacceptable. We don't have people who are working for us, and we don't have a government that is working for the people. So I am running to get resources to the ground and into the district that people desperately need and righteously deserve.
Gotcha. So to your question about the income. So as a state rep, you get paid $90,000 a year. And that's before the perks.
That's a Pennsylvania state rep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, she's running for U.S. Congress.
U.S. Congress is $175,000. But most times, I guess if you're smart, when you leave there, you're worth, what, $3 to $5 million, I think it was, looked at?
But, you know, it used to be but what's interesting, you know, we do all of these statistics, but, you know, the minorities, a lot of them, when they leave Congress, they leave owing money. There's a report out that shows it. Those that are of color or women end up owing money.
Wow.
Now, I don't know how that happens when you're making $175,000 a year and you pay for almost nothing.
Yeah, we'll do something on that later. But so the same question for we'll go with Candidate Jackson. Same question.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, you have about a minute.
So I'll basically, I'm sorry?
You have about a minute.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you. So, like I said, I've worked in my community. I lived in the same neighborhood, the same community for about 25 years. I served my city as a police officer for about 24 and a half years. And I also do a lot of mentoring. I work very closely with my neighbors, my community, and with the youth. And also me in the police department, I was in homicide for 9 years, actually. And what I see, what I've been seeing with this high murder rate and the gun violence, I worked hand in hand with the murder victims' families and the witnesses. I did a witness relocation. I protected people. I moved people for their safety. You know, I did warrants for people committed to homicides. And so the one problem I see is the resources that are allotted to our victims' families and to our witnesses, and how when people need money for relocation and protection, that money is kind of given out based on if the prosecutor needs you more or less for their cases and kind of who they like, you know. So I saw how that money was being allocated unfairly, and people's lives have been lost through that process. So I want to make sure that money is controlled through the AG's office and through state money, instead of depending on just that organization, the DA's office in Philadelphia.
Okay,
that's one of the reasons why I decided to run. And like I said, you know, compared to the other people in my race, no one has the experiences I have. No one has been boots on the ground like me. You know, they're a lot younger. And it's like, you know,
youth has nothing to do with experience. Don't do that.
Say it again.
Don't do that. Youth has nothing to do with experience.
Oh, it doesn't?
No. Because there's some guys who are young, but they're experienced.
And have one mayorship and everything else across the country. So
we want to be careful with that. That's all. But
okay,
we appreciate your point of view, though.
I'm talking about being, you know. I was just asking the question.
Not that's not a problem. We try to keep it. You know, one of the things that we try to do is make sure that, you know, if the facts are out there, you know. There, somebody could say, well, he's talking about youth, but then they come back and we can, you know, come back, oh, well, wait a minute, we have a person in this age, and this age. Mm-hmm. And and we go across the country. So, you know, we just try to keep it where, you know, we don't have to end up defending you or defending the stance of tone and tenor, you know. So there's nothing against you, Mr. Jackson. So, you know, here's something that
We have to give Rep Krajewski.
Rep Krajewski, you're next. You're the only incumbent we have on the show today so far.
Okay, sure. Thank you. So I will start by saying I am running for re-election because the issues that are affecting my community are still ongoing and still require a lot of leadership to address. We have a huge affordable housing crisis where we have a lot of unaccountable development that isn't prioritizing affordable housing, the needs of renters and working class homeowners alike. And we need to have more policy and legislation in place to support those folks. We have a gun violence epidemic that is ravaging a lot of parts of my community in particular. And to address these things, right, we have to really be proactive and preventative around solutions and figuring out how we invest in the community as part of keeping the community safe. And lastly, you know, and as this for me, this is something that's important as a young person and as a young person that, you know, ultimately wants to have children, we have a school district that is criminally underfunding our public schools. And thousands of children across the school district are not given the kind of educational environment they deserve. And a lot of that lies at the feet of Harrisburg and the fact that not just Philly School District, but school districts across its Commonwealth have been underfunded for decades at this point. So continuing to fight to make sure we have all of our schools given the resources they deserve is continuing to be a priority for me. And what sets me apart from my opponents is that I am a community organizer. I come from community organizing. And so I understand the power of relationships and how to utilize those relationships for collective power, right? And making sure we get collective wins. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited to say that I have been a strong collaborator with many different folks in the legislature to actually introduce policy and potentially get it across the finish line.
Awesome.
I just want to jump in here because Representative Krajewski said something and he mentioned education. So sure. I just want to back up and go education because it seems like that in this election on both the national level and right here in the state, gun violence is quote unquote taking the precedence. This is nothing new, you know, and it has been. And today, and I want to hear what you guys have to say about this. And I got disturbed because one of our state senators said, and I quote, because Representative Krajewski brought this up about education, that folks are not worried about, said that the most important issue in this election is not, listen to what I'm saying now, not education, but gun violence. Is not education, but public safety, and that is his experience in Harrisburg and in the district that makes him better equipped to tackle it. And I'm going to start with Representative Krajewski on this because gun violence has been here. It has been in the city of Philadelphia. The numbers have been rising. Some of these folks have been sitting in these same seats saying the same stuff that I just read. You know, what are your thoughts on education not being an issue, but gun violence being a priority?
Well, I think it's not an either or, right? I think those things are just inextricably connected. You know, it is true, right? And, you know, I've experienced this, you know, doing canvassing and having community town halls and events. It is true that a lot of community members are, you know, feeling very scared and concerned about the gun violence is affecting our communities. But I don't believe that we have to sacrifice fighting for other issues, whether it's education, economic issues, right? Making sure we raise the minimum wage, making sure we have access to good jobs, good mental health resources. I don't think not talking about those issues has to come at the sacrifice of talking about gun violence, because it's all connected. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. Part of the cycle that happens is you have a lot of youth and at-risk young people who are not given
30 seconds.
Opportunities. They're not given economic opportunities. They're not given the mental health resources that they need to support themselves through this traumatic 2 years that everyone has experienced with COVID-19. And all of that, right, are contributing factors to the violence that's happening here. And they've been problems for a long time, like you said, right? None of those issues, whether it's schools, the minimum wage, or housing, are new issues either. Mm-hmm. So I think that one can't be prioritized about the other. Sure. Of course, gun violence is an important issue, but they're all connected.
Yeah, thank you. Quick sidebar on that. We actually did a whole show about the poor zip codes. It was like mm-hmm. 11 throughout Philly. And the biggest issue was, and actually Robert Topuric pointed this out to us, the Team Children, shout out to them. All these places where some type of construction or some gentrification is happening is also a place where they either close the school or the schools have the worst proficiency rates in that in particular town. And this wasn't just in Philly. This was across the country. I mean, I was flabbergasted when we sat in his office and looked that up.
They closed the school and then turned the school into an apartment building, like West Philly High.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're about to strike a chord with Randall, but we're going to get into the... So, Kennedy Jackson.
No, it wasn't West Philly. What? I mean, they tore mine down. They tore mine down. I have no school in West Philly.
Oh, it's a nice
building. City.
There you go.
The West Philly Lofts, right? That one. That's the one I'm referring to.
Oh yeah,
I know which one you're talking about.
They converted
about.
The building.
So he was. My father went to West Philly, but that's still standing. At least his building's still standing.
Mm. Right. Yeah. But we'll pose the same question to Kennedy Jackson. You have a little over a minute.
In reference to gun violence being a priority over education.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree with the gentleman just spoke that you don't have to sacrifice one for the other.
Mm-hmm.
But as I'm out in the community, I mean, that is what everyone's concern is. You know, we have an area in my district where there's been several murders, there's been several homicides, and we've mm-hmm. had a couple young women get murdered. And I'm mm-hmm. working with the families, and everybody's worried about gun violence. People aren't letting their wives put gas in the car no more. People are getting gas in the suburbs. They're afraid to go to the gas station. People mm-hmm. are afraid to come to my rallies. And they're like, Yusuf, you know, man, it's too bad out. You know, and I'm like, I got you. Come on, you know. So.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right now people are very afraid. And like when I was in homicide for those 9 years, and it was really, really tough and really, really taxing working in that environment. But now it's like four times as bad.
Mm.
So I can't even imagine, you know, the workload and how detectives are really even dealing with all this. You know, so I mean, right now the people are saying people are afraid. People need some sense of security right now. Mm-hmm. So something got to be done about it. It needs mm-hmm. to be addressed.
Okay. Kennedy Hunt.
So I agree with a lot of the sentiment that was already said. I think that you address gun violence through education and through housing. That's what's at the root cause mm-hmm. of rising mm-hmm. violence of any sort is a sense of desperation and hopelessness that people do not have a bright future ahead of them. There isn't opportunity. And so why wouldn't they fall to the wayside and down a more violent path that could lead to trouble because they are not getting the support and resources that they need, which starts with the school system. And you were saying that it's nothing new. We have elected officials who run on the same platforms cycle after cycle after cycle. My opponent was handing out literature from last election cycle because nothing has changed and because he doesn't have to update what, you know, what he's done differently or what's new. It's the same old, and it's causing further destruction within the, our communities.
Let's stay on that topic and come back to start with our candidate, Hunt. If you're elected to Congress, what would you and how would you address this from a national level? We've had seen the sit downs. We've seen presidents bring have round robin tables and all that. You know, from a national level, how would
listening
you,
tours,
listening tours,
listening
and all
sessions.
Of this, you know, how would you address this if you were elected and representing the third district? Because I have to be honest with you, from most of the time in these elections, we see everyone at time they want to be elected. And then for 2 years, 4 years, or 6 years, we don't see them again. How would you address this?
So address the gun violence?
Right,
or
from a national level. From a national level.
So I think that that is multifaceted the same way that the issue is multifaceted. And I used to be an EMT, and I know how much that when you are in a crisis situation, you want somebody to show up there with you. You do not want to be alone in the scariest moments of your life. So pushing for the funding of crisis responders who know how to de-escalate a situation, who also have training in first aid, is very important to get that up and running at a national level. I'm also running on a new deal for education, which is to put federal resources into public education so that we don't have these issues of schools being torn down or shut down and they're on federal money, which is a very wealthy resource. We also need to invest into neighborhoods and infrastructure and housing repair. The roots of gun violence is not one primary issue. And so it has to be a lot of different solutions. But what I'm saying, this isn't new. We don't need to reinvent the wheel. We simply need people who are focused on resolving the issues from a preventative lens and getting to the root causes. And that's the sole reason that they're in office. We have other people who are in office to, you know, be comfortable, to make their money, and to sit at home at the end of the day. That's not my plan. My plan is to work very, very hard for the a short amount of time of being in office, get things done, and then to go back to public health, which is what I really love.
Gotcha. Same question for Rep. Kajewski.
Thank you. Sorry, can you repeat the question again? Just so I have to try to get it quickly.
So it basically was around the topic of the quote that was read from the state rep that
state senator
that feels like education is not an issue. And I think what Randall was referencing is we call it here the Harrisburg Hide, right? We hire you, and you go to Harrisburg, and you hide for 20 years. And you get a pension, you know.
Right.
Meanwhile, you know, the communities, as suffer. You know, being in office, look how they look.
So yeah, so I think with this, what this moment calls for to me is a willingness to go above and beyond, and to think differently to how we represent as legislators, and what do we do to include community in the conversation, right, and have them also be the advocates as well. Two things that I'll just point to that I've been able to do that I think have been a contributing factor towards like some legislative success. So I am working on a piece of legislation with Senator Nikhil Saval and other colleagues, Representative Jordan Harris, to name one other one, called the Whole Home Repairs Act, which would be a piece of legislation that would provide free grants for low-income homeowners to be able to fix their homes, which we know is a big issue, particularly here in West Philly. You got a lot of these big generational homes with, you know, leaky roofs and old plumbing and all kinds of, you know, nickel and dime problems. And we've actually been able to get bipartisan support for this legislation. And the reason is because this legislation was, one, crafted with community organizations. There was then a community tour that was launched that didn't just, you know, visit Philadelphia, but was in Harrisburg, Lancaster, Reading, Allentown, across the state. It was in Republican areas as well. And I really believe them seeing that broad base of support is a big part of what, you know, is allowing us to actually get some Republicans to sign on to this bill, and to give it a real shot of getting passed.
Gotcha.
Second piece I'll just talk about very quickly, because I know I want to be mindful of time, is I'm working on some legislation to support at-risk young people at accessing their vital documents like birth certificates, which we see as a big issue because you have a lot of youth that want to obtain employment or get social benefits, et cetera, and they can't do it because they can't get ID, because they can't get birth certificate.
Yep.
And for this, we were able to get support because we actually brought about 20, 25 youth throughout Philadelphia to come up to Harrisburg to lobby legislators. So I just lift up those two examples because this problem, right, has been all these problems have been long existing, and we can't just keep acting like lone actors, particularly in Harrisburg. We actually have to bring community people to the table to have them fight with us. And we have to go beyond Philadelphia, right? Because the truth is that to win any of these fights, it's going to have to extend beyond.
Gotcha. Well, okay. Makes sense to me.
Mr. Jackson.
Kennedy Jackson, what do you have for us? Might be muted.
I'm sorry, you see the same question?
Yes.
In reference to education versus gun violence?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have probably like almost 2 minutes.
Okay, yeah. So one of my favorite quotes is, a child educated is a family elevated. And so, you know, a lot of it starts, you know, with education and opportunities. And I think a lot of our young people really need conflict resolution training and workshops in the schools. Because what I'm seeing a lot is a lot of our young people, you know, they don't argue, they don't fight. They have all these Facebook and social media so-called beefs, and they come back, you know, just shooting everybody up. And they're getting these exotic guns, you know. And so, like I said earlier, you know, I don't think we got to sacrifice education. We need advocates in all these areas, but we really need to do something drastic to kind of tame this gun violence and tame the lust that a lot of young people have, you know, for violence. You know, because now I'm seeing, I've been in law enforcement for almost 25 years. And I worked in homicide for 9 years. I've never seen people just killing pregnant women and children with no remorse. You know, so the rules have changed. There are literally no rules anymore. You know, and the rate we're going, you know, everyone's moving out, running from our city. Everyone who can get out of our city are running and leaving. So we really need to, we need to call like some type of, you know, a state emergency on gun violence, because we need a lot of resources to go right now to get in front of this, because our cities are so dangerous right now. I mean, I you know, we just saw on the news these guys do a shooting in broad daylight with a assault rifle and a handgun and kill a guy. That was on the news yesterday. So people are afraid, people are scared. Throughout the pandemic, 2 million people. We have 2 million new gun owners, you know, over the past couple of years. And so we have a lot of people who are now new gun owners who may or may not have, you know, the proper training, you know, and knowledge on how to, you know, operate these firearms. In certain states, to get a gun permit, you have to go through a certain kind of training class. And if, like, in Philadelphia, like, you don't, you know. So now we have 2 million new firearm owners. But now people leave their guns, you know, leave their guns like in their gym bag. Their bag is getting stolen. Leave their guns in their car. You know, guns are getting stolen. You know, leaving guns unattended in their homes. So there's way, way more guns on our streets now because of people, you know, just not knowing, you know, and being careless, you know, new firearm owners.
Yeah, it's true.
So these things need to be addressed, and that can be addressed with education.
Yeah, that's one piece of it. But I think back a couple of years ago, the mayor did declare state of emergency. It didn't mean anything, but he did declare a state of emergency. And Philadelphia is actually the only out of 67 counties that requires that additional license to get a gun here. I believe so. Yeah, like for open carry.
But
so,
let's
open carry is statewide. Open carry statewide.
Concealed carry
is you need a license for that.
Let me go back to this, you know, because when we speak of gun violence on a national level and then it trickles down, you know, people don't like me to use the trickle down theory, but when it trickles down from the federal level to the state level to local level, you know, the biggest piece that always is the sticking point in this is the Second Amendment. And that becomes the argument of the NRA and other folks. So what are your thoughts and how are you addressing or do you feel, what are your thoughts on the Second Amendment and the right to bear arms, and would you control those, or can there be legislation actually be put in place and work across the aisle to do this? Kenneth Hunt.
Well, you know, the Second Amendment is for the first one don't work.
That's what they say.
that's a new one for me. I'm gonna take.
I'm sorry, y'all.
You have to pay to use that one on your campaign.
Yeah. So everybody take a minute, because we want to squeeze in one more question. I'll let you know when you have 30 seconds. But we'll start with Kennedy Hunt.
So I believe that we need to close loopholes in background checks and expand universal background checks. I also think that there should be mandatory gun safety training. But at the end of the day, people have a right to feel safe. Mm-hmm. And so it's not surprising to me to hear that there are new gun owners. And it is the responsibility of the legislature to ensure that they are responsible gun owners and that they take those safety measures.
30 seconds.
And that is where a Congress or the House, State House and Senate can step in and intervene.
Okay. All right. Same question, candidate Jackson, you have 1 minute. Still there?
I'm sorry, I'm trying to get you off mute. Yeah. I definitely believe in gun ownership. I definitely believe in self-defense. Mm-hmm. But I also believe like in education and training, as Hunt just said. But the thing is, a lot of time, you know, a lot of these rules and a lot of these policies and these laws, they affect regular good people who want to defend themselves, because a lot of the bad actors, the rules don't apply to them. They're going to get their guns. Where they get them from, they're going to steal guns. They're going to do whatever they want to do. The rules don't apply to the bad actors who are preying on us every day. But those of us should definitely have the opportunity to defend ourselves against the bad actors who are robbing and raping and murdering in our city. So, you know, there needs to be some type of something in place to vet people who have mental health issues. Should have access to firearms, but you know, if you're an upstanding citizen, I don't think you need a permit.
Yeah, I agree with you, but that's going to be a tough one because you know people use the unconstitutional thing. I could definitely see that being a uphill battle, not even just on the federal, but on the state as well. Rep. Krajewski, you have a minute.
Yeah, so definitely in support, right, of gun control legislation to support responsible gun ownership, and really, right, wanting to target illegal gun purchases and gun sales, which I think is a big chunk of what we're seeing with some of the firearm offenses being committed. So, you know, making sure we have stronger background checks, gun control loopholes, ghost guns, right? That's a huge problem as well. So definitely support all of that policy-wise. But the thing about it, right, is that... Gun, I mean, both gun violence, but also gun control have become extremely politicized issues, where I feel as though we will not be able to get a lot of progress until we also flip the House and actually have a Democratic majority. Because at this point, I think the Republican Party has dug into the politicization of both.
10 seconds.
Trying to blame Philly for gun violence, but also around gun ownership in a way where it's stopping us from getting real progress.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's a good point. I mean, in the last 40 years, I think the Democrats have controlled the House 3 times, maybe twice. Yeah. It's rough. Yeah, good luck to you on that one. There's a lot of personalities in there. We do have a newcomer, candidate Mike. Can you pronounce your last name for us, please? Because I don't want to murder your last name.
That's all right. Thank you. It's a Gian Giordano.
Gian, we got that completely wrong.
I think it's probably the longest name on the ballot this time around.
Quite possibly, looking at this paper. But real quick, thank you for joining us. In 30 seconds, can you kind of give us who you are and how people can get contact with you and why you're running? Well, we'll give you a minute.
Thank you, and thanks for having me on. It's an honor to be here. Mm. My name is Michael John Giordano. I'm a fourth generation South Philadelphian, born, raised, lived, work here. I've been here my whole life. My family's been here a long time. I have a business with my dad on East Patchogue Avenue. I went to school here, graduated from Drexel University, and then I worked in the family business. And I'm running to represent my neighborhood and to give back. My parents have always taught me and my sisters to be involved in our community, mm-hmm. and to be active participants in our community. So I wanted to run. I've always wanted to run for our office one day. So I decided to run this time. And I just want to go to Harrisburg and represent the people and make sure they have good constituent service and access to resources and to bring back to the people here in the 184th district.
You know, I just want to look in a sense of interest, which I find interesting. You're one of, looks like, 3 Democrats. That actually, there's another challenger throughout the city of Philadelphia. You know, there's more than one person running, which is interesting because it seems like there's majority of the people that are running that are incumbents don't have any, basically after primary, they'll go cast one vote.
Post, yeah.
And we talk about we live in a democracy, but the democracy we live in Philadelphia is I challenge Pat, get him off the ballot, that way I'm home free, and the people have no choice.
Yeah.
Just wanted to throw that out there because this is ludicrous that we want to be in a democracy, but then we don't have people running, or when somebody feels as though they're being threatened, they go to the law of the land so they can get the one or two people off so they can slide on then and do the Texas two-step on into office.
Well, you know, again, the Harrisburg hide, but that's because professionals, you know, well, this is what they say. This is what I was told when I got into politics 7 years ago. Professionals are concerned with winning. Amateurs are concerned with issues, right? You got to get in. That's number one. Number two is professional politicians love voters, but they hate constituents.
Right.
So that's kind of the mindset that we're dealing with. You know, I don't really get that from the folks on the line.
No,
but,
definitely not.
But, you know,
but whoever wins, we'll be monitoring what they're doing and we'll call them on their actions.
Oh, well, we're going to watch it, folks. But we're going to get to the last question. And again, thanks to you, everybody, for your insight and your input.
I think we got 2 because this one's going to be probably a yes or no. So you can go with your.
Okay. So you want to start with turn. Okay. So we'll just go round robin. So how do y'all feel about term limits? Should there be term limits or shouldn't there be term limits?
Starting with Mr. Jackson.
Yes, there should be term limits. I think no one should be in office for more than 10 years.
Okay. Rep. Kajewski.
So that's a good one. I mean, I think to me, in a perfect democracy, right, we shouldn't need term limits because then the people get to know, use their influence to determine whether in office. Mm-hmm. But we do not live in a perfect democracy, as we all know. Mm-hmm. So while I theoretically believe that, you know, democracy should be the term limit, I am supportive of term limits, understanding the flawed,
gotcha.
The flaws of our government.
Okay. Representative Hunt. I mean, sorry, Candidate Hunt. My apologies.
That's all right. Just keep manifesting it. I do support term limits and have been endorsed by a term limit group.
Okay. Term limit group. Okay. Candidate.
Mike. We're not going to badger his last name.
You could just call me Mike G.
Mike G.
All right.
I've been Mike G my whole life because my name nobody could ever pronounce it. It never fit in any standardized form.
That's what happens when you live in South Philly.
Don't feel bad. My first driver's license, they spelled my name wrong. My last name is, I get it. I definitely get it.
I hear all different variations of the pronunciation of my name, but it's a beautiful name and blessed to have it. But I do support term limits. I think that I agree with Representative Grzewski that in a perfect democracy, the people would rule out politicians that shouldn't be in office for as long as they've been. But I think we need legislation to limit it because it would then allow new blood and new people, the next generation, younger people to get involved and turn over. I'm only 28 years old, so we need more people my age, my group, to get involved and to become political.
Yeah.
Is important for the future.
Okay.
With that said, and this is a yes or no answer, do you feel as though Pennsylvania now should be poised to have open primary elections?
We'll go backwards. We'll start with Mike G.
I do believe we should have open primaries.
Mm. Okay. Mr. Jackson.
Yes, 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 yes. Yeah, I'm going to say yes like 100 times.
100 times.
It'd be really fair.
Yeah, absolutely.
Representative Krajewski.
I'll be frank. This is actually one that's been like an ongoing conversation for me. I don't think I'm a yes or a no, just because I think I see the pros and cons of either.
Okay.
So I think it's something I'm open to. That's what
I'll say. Thank you. Congressional candidate Hunt. We went. I don't know why we want to put you in the state side.
You're manifesting it, Randall. yes, I really do. I think that the two-party system and closed primaries really pushes us into that two-party system has hurt democracy. So I do believe in open primaries.
And thank you very much for those answers. Okay. Thank you very much for those answers. And I just want to elaborate. There are 22 states that have open primaries all across. Then there are 11 that had open primaries for presidency across this country. Pennsylvania is the problem we see and we hear is that, well, if you can either be Republican or Democrat, so stop being an independent. Well, basically what happens is, because we're not an open primary state, the independents have no voice and has to choose between the lesser of the two evils. And I'm going to leave it at that and let Pat take it home for the last question.
Yeah, I mean, I've just give everybody 30 seconds to, again, let people know how to get in touch with you. And
your final thought?
Final thought. We'll go with 30 seconds for everybody. So we'll start with Rep. Krajewski.
Excellent. I want to start by thanking you both for giving me the opportunity to speak on the show. I can be reached at my website is rickforphilly. That's F-O-R spelled out, rickforphilly.com.
Mm-hmm.
And contact me directly at my email address, which is rick@rickforphilly.com. And I just want to say that our city and our state are dealing with some very significant real issues. And in this moment where we're dealing with these problems in a historic moment with COVID, we require political leadership that's going to go above and beyond. That's not going to be just willing to settle for the status quo or the old way of doing things.
Mm.
We need new ideas. We need new leadership. We need organizing. And those are the things that I bring to the table in this role. Mm-hmm. And I look forward to continuing to use those skills to fight for my community.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Candidate Jackson.
Yes, sir. So you guys can reach me, check me out. My website is voteyusuf.com. That's Yusuf spelled Y-U-S-U-F, voteyusuf.com. I'm Yusuf Jackson. I'm running for the 203rd Legislative District in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania District. My email is yusufjacksonforpa2022@gmail.com. Hey, guys, people really need livable wage. People really need affordable housing. People need education needs to be funded equitably. And listen, just research me, research all the candidates, you know, do your research, but voteyusuf.com is a very comprehensive website. And also I want to say in closing, I really like what you guys are doing. And actually, and Alexandra Hunt, I'm voting for you. I'm pushing for you as well.
I think you got an endorsement.
They got endorsement.
Right. What's up, Jackson? Alexandra Hunt.
Okay.
where are we at?
Mike G, you have about 45 seconds to a minute.
I just want to thank you guys again for having me on. And I just would say to the people of the 184th District, if you want somebody who's going to work hard, who's going to fight hard and work every day in Harrisburg for their best needs, I am your guy. Like I said, I'm a small business owner, so all the small businesses in this district, I know firsthand what they're feeling and going through as we recover from the pandemic. And I'm just a hard worker in general, so I'm going to work hard and represent my community and make sure that the best foot is put forward in everything that I do. Mm-hmm. So thank you again. It's a pleasure again to be here.
Well, thank you.
Candidate Hunt, bring us home.
Yep. Thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate the conversation and the opportunities to speak to our platform. I am running for U.S. House of Representatives in PA3, which covers, again, Northwest, West, and South Philly. And you can check out our issues, our stances on the issues, and also information on how to vote on May 17th. On our website, huntforcongress.com, spell everything out. And there's a lot of information there. I think that we need to be putting fighters into office during unprecedented crisis and difficult times. We need people who are gonna show up, who are really going to listen to the ear, to have a listening ear to community members' voices and uplift that. And that is what I'm fighting to do.
Well, I think, all of our guests that joined us today. And remember that on May 17th, here in the state of Pennsylvania, there is a primary election.
Yeah, your this, voice, your choice.
That's right. This is the way of the people. You people, these folks work for you. You can fire them at the ballot box. One party leader said if you don't like what they're doing, fire them.
Yeah, I've heard a couple.
But he actually quit, but stayed party leader.
Well, that's a conversation for another time. We want to thank our guests.
Mr. Jackson, I just want to let you know we have added you to our Facebook page.
Yeah, so PA.
Thank you.
PA State Representative Candidate Jackson, PA State Representative Candidate Mike G, State Representative Kajewski, and U.S. Congress Candidate Alexandria Hunt. Thank you for listening. Catch us on social media. Tony and Tedder.
What? I'm going to be a majority inspector. You know that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, that's going to be scary.
The polls.
You know, absolute power corrupts.
You're not talking about me.
To find us on Facebook, just type in www.facebook.com. And please check us out. Election is this upcoming Tuesday. So
May 17th.
Be there, be square, you know.
Thank you for listening to Tone and Tenor here on WWDB Talk 860 AM out of beautiful Ballard Kingwood, Pennsylvania.
Yeah,
we'll I'm Randall Jefferson.
I'm Pat Edward. We'll see you next week.
As I get a little older, I realize life is perspective. And my perspective may differ.